Penguin Audio presents Dave Barry's History of the Millennium, So Far, by Dave Barry. Read by Patrick Frederick. As Abraham Lincoln once said, journalism is the first rough draft of history. Or possibly it was Thomas Edison who said that. I'm pretty sure somebody said it because you often hear journalists quoted in an effort to explain how come they get everything wrong. We see this all the time. Journalists rushing to get a story out under deadline pressure will report, based on preliminary information, that a ship sank and 127 people, many of them elderly, perished. Then, upon further investigation, it turns out that nobody, in fact, perished, although one elderly person was slightly injured by a set of dentures hurled by another elderly person in an effort to get the first elderly person to stop talking so loud. Then it turns out that this happened at a nursing home as opposed to a ship, although the elderly people were watching a video of Titanic at the time, and although there were only four of them as opposed to 127, the nursing home is located on Route 124, which is only three less than 127, which is not that much of an error when you consider the deadline pressure that journalists operate under. That's what we journalists mean when we talk about the first rough draft of history. I was a practicing journalist for a number of years, 127 years to be exact. I started in 1971 as a cub reporter at the Daily Local News in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and I can honestly say that at least 87% of the time when I produced a news story, I had no idea what the hell I was talking about. For example, one of the beats I was assigned to cover was the Downingtown Area Regional Sewer Authority, which, as you might imagine, was an authority responsible for the regional sewage of the Downingtown area. I was an English major. I had learned in college to explain the difference between the metaphysical and cavalier styles of British poetry. The difference is they are both boring. I had learned nothing about wastewater treatment, a topic rarely addressed in 17th century British literature. Yet there I was, wearing a sport coat, and taking notes in my official reporter notebook as the members of the Downingtown Area Regional Sewer Authority discussed, at great length, matters pertaining to sewage, such as sewer interceptors. The authority was always talking about these, and I wrote many long stories about them, but to this day I have no idea what they are or why anybody would want to intercept sewage. I'm sure that the stories I wrote made no sense. Fortunately, as far as I could tell, nobody was reading them. I spent several years cranking out the first rough draft of Downingtown area sewage history before moving on to other areas of journalism. Eventually, I became a columnist, which is the branch of journalism where instead of attempting to explain topics that you don't know anything about, you have strong opinions about them. Some columnists are really good at this. You can wake them up from a dead sleep and ask them, should the UN send troops to East Zamboro? Or, should the San Francisco City Council ban nitrogen from the atmosphere? Or, which is a better style of British poetry, the metaphysical or the cavalier? And these columnists will instantly feel very strongly one way or another and produce 600 passionate words in support of their views. They can do this even though there is no such place as East Zamboro. That is the opinion-generating power that your true columnist possesses. Me, I can't do it. There are very few issues about which I have strong opinions. Beer, low-flow toilets, Donald Trump's hair, and beer. Beyond those, I generally don't get riled up. So I've spent my columnizing career writing mostly about offbeat topics, such as the alarming decline of American capabilities in the field of accordion repair, or the man who came up with the idea, which I am not making up, of keeping turkey rectums shut with superglue. We're talking about dead turkeys here. This kind of story is my bread and butter. I let the other columnists deal with the hard news. The exception is the year in review. This is my one effort to participate as a journalist in the writing of the first rough draft of history. Each year, along about Halloween, I start going through the headlines month by month, summarizing the big stories that happened during that year. My deadline to finish the year in review is always early December, so I have to make most of December up. But that's not a big concern, as I also make up large chunks of the rest of the year. The book you hold in your hands contains my reviews of all the years of the second millennium so far. As a bonus, this book also includes my review of the first millennium, covering the years 1000 through 1999. I realize that there are people who will argue convincingly that technically the
Sample complete. Ready to continue?